Blog Talk Radio.
Truly the Apostle B.W. Jones Sr. right here on The Proceeding Word. So glad, elated, and excited to be with you today. Yet it is another day that Yahweh, our Elohim, has made. I will, you should. Come on, let's do it together. Rejoice and be glad in Him. We want to take opportunity to repent to those of you who viewed in on our last broadcast and experienced our technical difficulties yet again. We do repent for that in such a dynamic, well, not a dynamic way, but in a true way, asking that you would have forgiveness for us as we learn to manipulate and or handle all the technicalities that go along with putting forth these productions. And we are glad and grateful that you've returned for another day of learning in the writ we call the Bible. More importantly, we're understanding that the writ also contains what is known as the words of Elohim, God. That's what it means, the word of Elohim, the God of our salvation. Today we got a lot to discuss. A great portion of this program is going to be dedicated to learning the word. It's going to be learning to understand the season that you're in. There's a lot that goes on in this season. God knows there is, and we want you to be a part of that, what happens in this season. We want you to be encouraged by that which happens in this season. We want you to begin to embrace that which happens in this season so that you'll know why you're in this season. That's true. There's many things that go on. We're going to talk about those and how important these pieces are today in your life. Well, it's going to be a great broadcast. We're going to be talking about the seven appointed times. We're dealing with the season and the feast season of Pentecost. So grab your neighbor, get your cousin, your auntie, your grandmama, all that is connected to you, all that loves you and all that cares for you, all that preaches to you, let your pastor know. That's right. Get your Sunday school teacher. Go get them. Get your music minister. Grab your neighbor across the hallway. Throw a rock across the lake, whatever you need to do, and let them know that the proceeding word is on the air. And guess what? You're going to learn today. That's true. Let's get started. Come on, grab a neighbor quick. Get them up. Grab your Bible as well as we prepare our hearts to go into the writ today and discuss the seven appointed times. Right now, you're in a season of time that is known as Shavuot. Well, it's not yet upon you, but you are in the season of the counting of the Omers. You are in the sheaf or the feast of weeks. Seven Sabbaths since the time of his resurrection must be counted. And then on the 50th day, the morrow after the seventh Sabbath has ended, you and I are to enter into what is known as the Feast of Pentecost. It is a day of Pentecost. Let's talk briefly about what this is really all about. The exodus from Israel was from Egypt. And when Egypt took place, the exodus of Israel from Egypt, rather, I should say, took place under what's known as the Feast of Pesach, Chag Pesach, the Feast of Passover. And that took place in the first month, which is the month known as Abib, or we know it as Nisan. After crossing the Red Sea, after being led by a pillar of fire, they were brought to the foot of Mount Sinai. Now, here at Mount Sinai, after they left Israel, Israel left Egypt in Pesach, Passover, they come to the Mount of Sinai. Here at Mount Sinai, they experienced the Feast of Pentecost in the third month, which was the month of Sivan. Now, at Sinai, the law of the Ten Commandments was written, and it was given to the nation. Here, the tabernacle of Yahweh, the Aaronic priesthood, and the sacrificial system was given. Now, the nation was established as, quote-unquote, the church in the wilderness. Now, we know that because there was an author in the book of Acts. And when you go back to the book of Acts, you see that there were certain things that developed and took place there that were significant to all that we do and all that we say and all that we embrace. Now, when we deal with this, I want to be very clear that the Old Testament supports everything of the New Testament because it is the reason that the New Testament exists. And then you have also the reality that the New Testament supports all that the Old supports. So in the book of Acts, chapter number, chapter 7. Let's go down to chapter 7. You'll see what we're talking about. This church that we're talking about now in the Old Testament, talking about the day of, in the season of Pesach, meeting and going to Mount Sinai, Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Brings this point out. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So this again is what the first church in the wilderness was called. They were called the church in the wilderness. And here you see Stephen's sermon bringing this out. Stephen was one who was literally persecuted for his teaching. But let's go to verse 35 and we'll read down to verse 38. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who may be a ruler and a judge, the same did God send to be ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall Yahweh, Yahr Elohim, raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall you hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Listen to this, to whom our forefathers would not obey. Now, this is where it becomes intriguing. So I want you to pay close attention. I want you to be a part of this. This is very important, very significant. When, in fact, you see Acts chapter 7, the story in brief about what Pesach or what Shavuot is really all about is, again, when they were exodused from Egypt, it took place again in the season of Pesach, the first month known as Nisan. Some called it Abib, older. Way back when it was called Abib, it was changed to Nisan. That was the first month. That's what Yahweh said, let this be the first month of the year. They crossed the Red Sea. They are led by a pillar of fire. They were brought out to the foot of Mount Sinai. There at Sinai, they experienced the Feast of Pentecost. The third month was called Sivan. So on Sivan the 6th, which is May the 23rd of this particular year. That's right. May 23rd at sundown is the day of Sivan. Is the day of Sivan the 6th. Forgive me. At Mount Sinai, Yahweh gave Moshe, as you read in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, he gave them what we call the instructions and the architectural plan for the tabernacle of Yahweh. He also gave them how the Aaronic priesthood should work. He also gave them the sacrificial system and how that should work. He gave them all that they would need. So the nation here was established in the wilderness as the church of the wilderness. Again, Acts 7:38 brings that out. Later on, when Israel entered the promised land, special and peculiar offerings were presented to Yahweh as Israel gathered in the Pentecostal harvest amidst great joy and great rejoicing. So there were certain types of offerings, peculiar, special offerings that were perpetually presented to Yahweh because Israel had certain types of harvests. In the days of Pesach, in the days of Shavuot, in the days of Sukkah, there are several types of offerings that must be presented to Yahweh our Elohim. And this is what we talk about in Malachi chapter number 3 when it states, will a man rob Elohim? And so how will he rob him? The Bible declares, Yahweh declares, you have robbed me in your tithe. That is something we all know is a tenth of your earnings, a tenth of your givings to him. And then he also goes on to state, and in your offerings, because the offerings he has prescribed are very peculiar. And they're not the types of offerings that we generally state today. If you look at an Orthodox Israeli faith of Judaism, these offerings are significant. They are not just some thought up hodgepodge ad hoc throw together type of deals. These are budgeted for throughout the year because the offerings mean a great deal because they have significance and symbolisms to what Yahweh had told them he wanted of them so that his tabernacle could continue and be, listen, autonomous, and B, watch this, this is very important, sovereign. So look at this closely. How do I say this best? The full significance of this particular feast day that we are about to come upon on Sunday can be understood and appreciated by considering the details that have been laid down in all the relevant passages of the writ. Again, we will have to consider first the natural and then the spiritual. And then we have to look at what is called in theology the antitype. You have to consider the type. Then there's the antitype, meaning another type. And then you have to also consider the shadows. Then you have to consider the casts, what this prophecy is casting, what this ordinance casts, what this feast casts. a shadow of. Then you have to look at the substance of that shadow caster. You're always going to be dealing with the temporal, which is under the old covenant, and then we're also going to try and deal with what's known as the eternal, which is supposed to be under just the new covenant. Now, what do I mean by the new covenant of Israel? Well, many people believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, that there is not supposed to be a continuation of the natural covenant, but now an exclusion of it and a push for what is the eternal covenant alone. So I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. You'll all go there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we talk about this quickly. I'll go to verse 16. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of Elohim. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are not seen, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So when people connect this piece together, there's a great book. Actually, I'm referencing that book right now. The book is called The Feasts, the Seven Appointed Times, or rather the Feast of Israel. It's a book by Kevin J. Connor. Chewing Meat, Throwing Bone Away, based on theological preference that he produces. A lot of this information from it is very, very, very useful. But then the revelation comes when you correlate the scriptures and the writ that go along with what is being produced out of this book. They believe that there is a necessity for you and I to eradicate the old covenant, because the old covenant is that which is temporal, according to this writ, this piece in 2 Corinthians 4, and then that which is not seen is eternal. Though it's true, it doesn't eradicate or remove the need to honor the feast in our modern day until our Messiah returns, because the truth is, even during the millennial reign, we believe that we'll still be honoring the feasts, because Messiah is here, because this will be forever until the heavens and the earth are done away with. The feast of Israel will remain forever. Let me help you with this. In understanding how the feast of Israel must remain forever, you have to realize that when Messiah, in the day of Pesach, in the day of Hag Bikurim, the day of the first fruits, the barley harvest, at his death, then they buried him. Then on the 16th of Nisan, he rose again. He rose to go to the actual tabernacle in heaven to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat there, meaning he fast-forwarded in many cases even to the Feast of Sukkot. We'll talk about that another day, and did the work of the priests there. Now, I want to be very clear about this, because this is so significant to everything that we'll ever learn. Messiah goes to heaven, and he sprinkles his blood on the seat of the mercy seat in heaven. The tabernacle does exist in the heaven where Elohim resides. He gave us through Moshe a template. He gave us through Moshe an architectural drawing for that same tabernacle to be made here on the earth. No, it is not the same as the temple. It was what he gave Moshe as the tabernacle. The dimensions, I'm sure it's much more grand in the heavens. David may have seen some kind of a vision or hope that this would be something he could do when he asked to recreate, redo the temple. the tabernacle and called it the temple. But my point here is that when Yahweh says he wants this done forever, that means that forever is forever, because the reason we know this may be more sustainable is that he has the tabernacle in heaven. He literally had Messiah die according to his heavenly plan. He also had him, watch this, be sacrificed. He also had him release Ruach HaKodesh on the earth in Shavuot. And in Yom Kippur, he had the priests offer the blood on the tabernacle, on the mercy seat, in heaven, as the high priest is to do every year, according to the Feast of Sukkot. Now, I want you to be very understanding of this. These things are very significant. So when we talk about why our dear friend Kevin J. Connor, who wrote the book on the Feast of Israel, his faith system, his belief, his denominational belief is that that this is just what we see through the feast that Israel did was the temporal, which undergirded and or gave us insight into that which is supposed to be eternal. But they believe that once you do get into the new covenant of Israel, that you eradicate the old covenant of Israel. And I want to assure you, and today I want to show you, that that's not what we're supposed to do. So let's get into a little bit more about this reason for Pentecost and Shavuot. Now, we'll be talking about this for the next 2 days, because guess what? Shavuot is coming up on Sunday. That's right, the 23rd of May at sundown. It's Saturday night. We will be celebrating this great service on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's right, on Sunday, which is the morrow after weekly Sabbath. And it's going to be a time for the gathering of the believers, the unifying of believers. There is power in unity, and the unity brings power. So with that, we will see the power of Elohim. And there'll be forgiveness, there'll be mercy, there'll be grace, there'll be extension of power, there'll be a demonstration and a release of things that some of you have never experienced in your life, a day before in your life. I want you to tune into it. It's going to be dynamic. Don't you miss it this coming Sunday. That's right. Those of you that can't be here, you should be here. Those of you that can't, you know how to tune in. I want to make sure you're a part of that. Pentecost, the story of Shavuot. Now, your world, your Christian world today, calls it Pentecost. And Pentecost is... it's interesting how we have taken and sort of owned Pentecost in our modern day. It doesn't relate to what Elohim wants at all. Now, this year it happens to correlate and fall on the 24th, so it will be Pentecost Sunday this year. Now, any other year doesn't fall on the same time. It doesn't fall, Pentecost doesn't fall on Sunday every year. Now, this year it does, and the church is on time, so the church will be in the appointment. So there'll be much going on, but we want to make sure that we're celebrating it with the intentions of what Pentecost Sunday is. Pentecost Sunday is not the day that everybody starts speaking in tongues, though there is a history of it in the book of Acts. Pentecost Sunday, or Shavuot, has a much deeper meaning, refined and defined. You're going to learn about this in the next 2 days. So the name of the feast, this particular feast, is known by different names, which I've begun to tell you about it. It's known as the Feast of Harvests. It's also known as the Feast of Weeks. It's also known, as I told you before, as the Day of First Fruits, because there is a first fruit offering in this day. Listen, if you don't get your first fruits offering in, really you should. Your first fruits offerings for this, as explained in Exodus chapter 34, verse 22, in Numbers chapters 28 and 26, there are two first fruits that you give. The first one was done 50 days before. That was on the day that Messiah rose from the dead, presenting us with the first fruits concept and the first fruits to be initiated. That first fruits we have celebrated and we do, and it was 325. Now you have a second first fruits, which is of your wheat harvest. We'll talk about that tomorrow too. But that first fruits offering is also a significant offering. It is the two lambs and the two loaves of bread. That's what Yahweh is respecting. That's one of the offerings in that season. So that first fruit is for the wheat harvest. And when that wheat harvest comes, Yahweh expects the first fruits. Romans tells us that when we give him the first fruits, then that which comes out of that same place becomes blessed, and he will cause it to constantly and perpetually provide for that which is necessary. Now, your first fruits offering for this coming Sunday will be $405. It's biblical. We can track it down to you, show you how you monetize it, the whole nine yards. You don't have two lambs. If you got two lambs, then you give them, but where are you going to sacrifice them at? So lamb were monetary issues back in those days. It was the way that they bartered. That's why we have to translate the livestock requirement of the writ into a monetary value of today's bartering system, or we call it the gold standard for commodity procurements. So this is the understanding of where you have the monetized value for your first fruits. Now, Numbers 28, Exodus 34 talks about this. This feast, the name of this feast also takes on a different feast. It takes on the Feast of Weeks and the first fruits of the wheat harvest. I just told you that. And it is also the Feast of Harvest, which, watch this, the first fruits of Israel's labors. Now, that piece right there is very significant. This feast to the Israelis, this feast to Orthodox Judaism, is also known as and can often be called the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of Israel's labors. Okay, because when you give him the first fruits of your labors, he'll make everything that comes out of your labor blessed abundantly, and it will provide for you all summer long, and it will set you up so that you can go into your fall harvest with abundance to get through the winter months. Because in the winter months, you can't really sow, you can't really plant when the snow is on the ground and the ground is so cold, because the seed won't produce properly. But if you are honoring him in the first fruits of the spring, and then this first fruit of the month of Sivan, which is Pentecost, and you give him the first fruits from that, he will cause your harvests to bountifully bring forth during the summer months and into the late fall, so that when winter hits, you have enough in store that you'll make it through the winter without lack. This is very important, and we need to realize this and start embracing this concept. So your first fruits is more important than you think. You do not give first fruits during the fall season. You don't give first fruits January 1. You don't give first fruits in Rosh Hashanah. You only give first fruits in, again, Pesach, which is Hag Bikurim, the 16th of Nisan, and this day, the 6th of Sivan, which is the 23rd and 24th of May, and you give those in the amounts he has prescribed in the writ. And we've helped you by doing that. We've monetized it for you already. Again, Shavuot is 405, and the one that we've already done, first fruits for the spring, which was in 16th of Nisan, that was a 305. So let's look now at what this is. So we're still talking about some of the names that this feast season of Shavuot has an AKA as, otherwise known as. It's also known as the Feast of Pentecost, which is the New Testament Greek render, being translated in the Greek word for 50. Now, what does that mean? the word 50, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Kevin Connor brings out this piece. I think we should track this down so you'll understand how others in the world view this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were there with one accord in one place. So he's referencing that. Then when you go to Acts 20, verse 16, he also brings up what the day is, but it's simply a Greek render. Acts 20, verse 16 indicts these words: for Paul had determined to be and sail by Ephesus because he would spend the time in Asia. He hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Okay? Now, Paul, this is 20 years later in Acts chapter 20, is still keeping the Feast of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's not the Feast of Pentecost. That's just Pentecost because the Bible translator translated Shavuot, because Paul is not Greek. Paul is Hebrew. Paul keeps Shavuot. Shavuot is what you call Pentecost, okay? And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians, later on, he's teaching other Corinthian churches about, again, Shavuot, and your translator turns it into the word Pentecost. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 8, you have proof through the New Testament that the feasts were being kept by the apostles. Who would have thunk it? Who would have noted it? Look at this, verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 16, for I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if Yahweh permits. But I got to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Okay? This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, writing a letter to them, teaching them what Shavuot is all about. Now, your translators turned it into Pentecost. Just like your translators of your Bible turned the word Messiah into the word Christ, they turned the word Shavuot into the word Pentecost. So people who believe that we don't need to keep this are the reasons that we have the word Pentecost thrown in front of us. So when you look up Pentecost in the Greek, the word Pentecost means 50. It does. But it means so much more when you use the actual word that you translated. The actual word translated was Shavuot. Shavuot is a completely much more defined reference to the event. Now, we'll talk about that, but I just want to give you the heads up as we study. Look, we're learning a lot here. I hope that you're getting something. I want you to stay close with us. Don't you leave. Stay on the air. We're learning some stuff here today about what is called the feasts of Israel. Now, this particular feast, again, as we talk about, is Shavuot. It's happening this week, this Sunday. Yeah, God, we be praised. Oh, the hell you've been through, the struggles, the attacks, and all that other garbage that's going on in your life, it all had a reason. Remember, from the time Yeshua was crucified until the time that the Ruach HaKodesh came, the Jews were after the disciples. Some of you have had spiritual principalities and wickedness and spiritual wickedness in high places coming after you in every area. Just remember, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You wrestle against principality and power and against rule of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And all of that has to happen in this 50-day season. But guess what? If you stay strong, you stay in the Word. If you find yourself about to snap, don't snap. Get in His Word. Get in His writ. Stay in His purpose. Stay in His plan for your life. He will bring you through. He will bring you out if you stay faithful. Paul says, I've got to tarry here until Pentecost. Now, why is this significant? Well, as mentioned, this was the feast that Yahweh wanted them to hold up to Him in the wilderness. It will be seen by various titles for the feast within Judaism, and it actually involved a particular 24-hour day as well as a 7-week period of time. Now, the day has been translated into Pentecost, but it is also known as the Feast of Weeks. So I hope that this makes some sense to you. Now, here is what's important. Listen closely. Now, the Greek name, again, is known as Pentecost, which simply means and only means 50th. This word is not used in the Old Testament, but it is used 3 times in the New Testament. Now, this feast took place on the 50th day after the waving of the sheaves of the first fruits, which we find referencing for this in Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to run there real quickly. Many of you have been with me so long, you know this. You should be able to quote this chapter. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15, and I'll help you understand why this is so important. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 says, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, that's your first fruits in the time of Nisan. You're going to count 7 Sabbaths until they are complete, even unto the morrow after 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, okay? And you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh. That is the 2 lambs, and it is also called the 2 loaves of bread. That's where you get the 405 for your feast offering for the actual first fruits in the month of Sivan, in Pentecost, okay? So listen to this closely. That's where you get the reference to this day. It's a 24-hour period of time that you are to treat like a Sabbath. What is a Sabbath? Well, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and 14. Let me go there quickly in my Bible. Isaiah chapter
58. You should know this by heart as well. Uh-huh. If I can find it. There it is. Bingo. Isaiah chapter 58. Is that what I want? Oh, I'm in Psalms. It'd be nice for me to get in Isaiah, wouldn't it? Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13. The day of 24 hours, the 24 hours of Pentecost starts at May the 23rd, which is, listen, ending the seventh day Sabbath. So what you're going to want to do is ending the seventh day Sabbath, you're entering into this special Sabbath. We call this a high, holy Sabbath, which means every time you take one of these appointments and you keep this appointment, you are to give him in this holy convocation the 24 hours as you would do on the seventh day. Now, what do we do on seventh days? Every seventh day of the week, which is Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown, we give him 24 hours. How do we do it? This is what we do in the 24 hours. You turn away your foot from doing your own thing on his day. All right? Verse number 13 says, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day. And I need you to call the Sabbath a delight. I need you to call it holy of Yahweh. I need you to make it honorable unto Yahweh, and I need you to honor him in all your ways, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I, Yahweh, will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of Yahweh, the I am that I am, has spoken it. So, every time Yahweh gives us a Sabbath, he is expecting us to give him that period of time without secular and worldly consideration, thought, or entertainment. So this time, listen to this, you have a back-to-back Sabbath. You have a back-to-back Sabbath. You have the seventh-day Sabbath, which is Friday at sundown of this week until Saturday at sundown. But guess what? It doubles into, please, this is so deep, the high holy Sabbath. So when Saturday at sundown ends for the weekly Sabbath, the high holy day Sabbath kicks in. So you're going to have this weekend a 48-hour Sabbath. Oh, my God. It's going to be so great. I'm telling you, if you will give him this 48 hours coming up this week, dear heart, your life will never be the same coming out. I assure you, there will be things that come against you, things that are warring against you that Yahweh himself will kill in its tracks. There are situations of lack that will now have the dam that will produce the water that make the seed you've sown grow. Hallelujah, because you're going into the summer months. That's right. The summer months is the best time for you to get your seed planted to a place where it can grow, and it can grow with all the fervor and the intensity that Yahweh intended for harvest to have. And it'll carry you through the winter months soon as you harvest it in the fall. So this particular week is not a joke. This is so spiritual. That's why many of you have been warred against. You've been fought against. There is so much more going on in your life that you need to understand and embrace. That's why the struggle is so heavy. That's why the issues are so hard. That's why the attacks are so bearing down on you. That's why the health is so bothering and bothersome and pestering of your person, because you're in a season that the spirits and the principalities know they can't allow you to rest in him Friday till Sunday, Friday at sundown until Sunday. It can't afford you to rest. It can't afford you to sabbath with Elohim. Why? Elohim, if you turn away your foot on the day of his Sabbath, the 2 days that come this week from his Sabbath, if you turn your foot away from doing your pleasure on his holy day and you call the Sabbath a delight, if you call this the holy day of Yahweh, you make it honorable and you will honor him, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasures nor speaking your own words, then he will say you are delighting in him. You are obeying his will. You are obeying his command. Then he says, I'm going to cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I'm going to feed you with everything I fed Jacob with. All the heritage that Jacob has, I'm going to give it to you. It belongs to you and I. This is a part of the commonwealth of Israel, but we can't access this wonderful wealth pot until we are obedient to his times, his seasons. I know the songs, they're great songs, they're melodic songs, they make us laugh, they make us cry, they make us feel good and oozy inside, but dear heart, you don't have a season. These are Yahweh's seasons. And in his seasons, you being obedient to keeping the season, that's when you prosper, that's when you blossom, that's when you flow. So that's when your season is. So all these songs telling you it's a new season, it's a new day. Well, let me tell you right now, dear heart, it is a new season. It is a new day. But only in his seasons and only in his days. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it's very important to recommend you read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Well, matter of fact, why don't we just go there and do it right now so nobody's missing the point of this. Because every new season has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. You are involved when you obey it, when you show up. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. I'm just going to keep reading. I feel Ruach saying to keep reading. Verse number 2 says, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, then there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. There is a time to kill, and there is a time to heal. There is a time to break down, and there's a time to build up. There is a time to weep, and there is a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones, there's a time to gather stones together. There is a time to embrace, there is a time to refrain from embracing. There is a time to get, and there is a time to lose. There is a time to keep, and there is a time to cast it away. There is a time to rend, rip, tear up, and there is a time to sow, bring back together. There is a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. Some of us need to catch that. That right there is deep. Sometimes you just need to keep quiet. There is a time to love and a time to hate. There is a time of war, and then there is a time of peace. So at the end of the day, there is time, and times that Yahweh puts in his own power, we need to be on schedule with them. And guess what those times are? The 7 appointed times. That's right. The 7 appointed times. In these times, you will be able to sit at rest with him. He empower you and equip you to be able to deal with everything you got to deal with. Sabbath days are so important, especially the high holy Sabbaths. I hope this is helping someone. Again, I'm not an advocate that you go to church per se on Sabbath, but if you do, wonderful. Hope that you learn something. Don't make it ceremonial, and don't make it just something you do out of obligation, because Sabbath is about relationship. It is about increasing and enhancing the relationship you have with him and his word, not with your pastor and church. Oops. But if your pastor and church are in Sabbath with you, of course, there's going to be prayerfully relationship building with Yahweh. And then when you come together with your pastor and your church members, all of you have had time alone with Yahweh. You've established and fortified your relationship with Yahweh. And then the church won't fail you or hurt you when you feel someone else did not keep their discipline as well as you did. You won't be hurt by it and then say the church hurt you because you have a relationship with Yahweh. See, that's what Sabbath and High Holy Sabbaths are designed to do. Fortify, strengthen, reset your relationship with Yahweh, because the moment you make your relationship with your pastor, you make your relationship to Yahweh with your church, you start associating those two combinations, then you have removed Yahweh from the seat of your life and you've put it in temporal, God-made man instead of he who made you. I need you to understand that and embrace that. This is why we have so much church hurt. This is why so many people are disappointed when their leaders fail. And believe me, dear heart, leaders are going to fail just like you fail. And when you fail, your leader is supposed to be there to pick you up. But it's funny, when your leaders fail, everybody leaves them there to die. Like, they told me they was this, they told me they was that. And then your leader is sitting there left dead because they'll pick you up when you've messed up. But no one picks them up when they've messed up. This is why I've dedicated my life to leaders. And all of you on this line, well, guess what you're going to become? Leaders, because we're not raising you up to be an usher. We're not raising you up through these teachers to be a musician or a psalmist or a youth pastor. We're raising you up to be those who are capable, able, well-learned, and not through doctrine of denomination, but through the writ and Yahweh's intention on how to help lead people and his flock into relationships with him that will benefit their family, their lineage, and create heritage for them both spiritually and naturally. So I need you guys to understand this, all right? That's what Sabbath does for you. It increases your personal relationship with Yahweh. It does not require you for you to be in church on Sabbath. Though if you can be, that's great. If it's a half a mile from your home, get there. But if you got to travel 30,000 miles, if you got to do a whole bunch of work to get ready for church on Sabbath, there is a problem with that. Don't find yourself subject to it. Don't put yourself in that position. Make sure that on Sabbath, you give him the time he wants so he can give you the things you need. All right. So we're getting back into why we are having and celebrating what's known as Pesach or Pentecost. All right. Now, Pentecost, again, is a day that has been translated into the Greek as Pentecost, but it is Shavuot, and it means 50. As Shavuot, it means so much more. All right. Now, the Old Testament shows us that the 50 days run from the time of Pesach, Passover, to Shavuot, Pentecost. So from Passover, Pesach, to Pentecost, Shavuot, can be traced in the required 50 days. Pesach took place on the 14th day of the first month. All right. Israel left Egypt on the 15th day of the same month, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After Exodus, they crossed the Red Sea. They were following this cloudy pillar all the way to Mount Sinai. And then when they came to the mount, apparently the first day of the third month, at Mount Sinai, Yahweh spake to Moshe to tell Israel to sanctify themselves against the third day. Then Moshe went up again to the mount on this third day, and it was on this day that Yahweh wrote the Ten Commandments, as we purport, on the tables of stone. In all of that, we have 50 days, which may be seen as the first month of Nisan, the 15th day. The second month is known as Zif. So you have Nisan, you have Zif, you have Sivan. Those are the months that we're dealing with, the 3 months, okay? So the 15th day of Nisan, we pass 30 days through the month of Zif, and then we have the third month, which is Sivan, and then there are 4 days into that, and that 49th day, or that seven days, seven Sabbaths, every Sabbath is a 7 day, so there are seven Sabbaths that they must count. We taught you that in Leviticus. They must count 7 Sabbaths after the Sabbath of Pesach, and then you have the 50th day after that. So, in short, they come to the next day, which is the 50th day. Now, when they get to the 50th day, this is important. Yahweh wrote with his finger what we call the Ten Commandments. Hence, today, Jewish Judaism and or you and I who understand Torah, we look upon the Feast of Shavuot as the celebration. This is the real reason. This is what Pentecost is about. It's not the speaking of tongues. This is what Pentecost is about. Listen, it is the celebration or the commemoration of the giving of the Book of Instructions. Because we call the Ten Commandments the law. Yeah, technically it is the law, but it is not the law to a legalism end. It is instructions. This is how you should do. Man should not kill. Man should not steal. If you live by these guidances, you're going to be fine. Now, if you break these guidances, there's going to be repercussions because that's what makes them law. But they are instructions. And it is clear, Yahweh doesn't want us to kill each other. He doesn't want us to lie and bear false witness against each other. He doesn't want us to run to mischief behind each other. These are instructions. So the word Pentecost in the Greek doesn't give us a proper define because it only means 50. But Shavuot tells us by proper define that this day is a celebration of Yahweh giving us the governance for Israel, the book, some say, the giving of the law in short. But when you start doing it in the short, it always makes it seem legalistic. That's why you have so many people in Christendom, in their denominations, stating and touting, we're not under the law, we're under grace. I don't want to call you ignorant, but it would say that the word ignorant does mean you are unlearned. And you can learn everything. And the Bible declares, and the New Testament states that we are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we've got to fix that. We've got to change that. We've got to bring that into proper understanding. To do that, we have to put back the words we've translated from the Greek and the English and go back, and the Latin, go back to the Hebrew, where the words were intended and the words were originated and the etymologies of the word are connected, to see what he meant. Because we can change something ignorantly, though we have good intentions. And then because we changed it and are ignorant to how we changed it, we will pass it on in error, or we'll pass it on incomplete. And we'll think we're doing a good thing, but believe me, dear hearts, it's never the God thing. So, in all of this having been said and stated, I want you to pay attention as we conclude today's portion of the writ. Now, the Feast of Weeks is so important to us. The time element is set forth. It links Pesach and Shavuot together. Here, Yahweh commanded Israel that when they arrived in the land and they had harvest time, to count from the day of the waving of the sheaf of the first fruits 49 days, or 7 Sabbaths. Then they were to count the day following as the 50th day, which is the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. And this was the day that we call Shavuot, where the Greeks had the right to use the word Pentecost, meaning 50. So remember, we have 7 times 7 Sabbaths, or 49 days. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 16. It's right there. It's very clear. Now, the morrow after the 7th Sabbath was the 50th day. On this day, they were to offer special offerings. Thus, we have a double witness concerning the Feast of Shavuot on the 50th day, which was fulfilled historically in Israel from the time of Pesach through to the time of Shavuot. All right? Now, this really began, the time of that changed when they entered into the promised land, only because they could not do the first fruits offering until they got into the Canaan land. All right? So once they got into Canaan land and they were able to give their first fruits, which was significant, they then counted 50 days from the day of the first fruit rendering, which means it was the 16th of Nisan, the day of Hag Bikurim. And from that, you count 7 Sabbaths, and then the morrow after the 7th Sabbath is the 50th. That became Shavuot. All right. Now, what's the significance of the number 50? This is deep. Let's look at that. The number 50 is used symbolically to represent, listen to these words, liberty. It represents freedom, and it also represents deliverance. This is seen in the fact that every 50 years, or 7 times 7, which equals 49, plus 1 equals 50. In Israel, every 50 years is called the year of Jubilee. And for your sake and your understanding, the year of Jubilee starts this coming September. That's right. You're coming upon a 50th year. You right now are in a 49th year. This is seen in the fact that liberty, I love this, freedom and deliverance is granted irrevocably in the 50th year according to the custom of Israel. So the Feast of Shavuot is practiced every year for the 50-year celebration. Slaves were set free. Debts were canceled. Hallelujah. Families were reunited. Liberty was proclaimed throughout the land by the sound of the Jubilee trumpets. You don't believe me? Go to Leviticus chapter 25 and read verses 17. Okay? Priests also served the tabernacle of Yahweh from 25 to 30 years until they were what? 50 years old. Then they were at liberty to cease from that type of service. So 50, you only served Yahweh in his tabernacle for 25 years to 50 years. After that, you were released. So for the nation of Israel, the Feast of Shavuot on the 50th day after their deliverance from Egypt, that was a celebration of liberty from the house of their bondage. These people, when they left Egypt, when they got that ordinance and they ended up in the time of Shavuot, it was when it sunk in, they were no longer slaves. They were free. Now they were at liberty to serve the true and living God, Yahweh, their Redeemer. People of the Most High, this stuff is so powerful. It is so indicting. It is so significant that when we realize how important it is to find yourselves in the seasons that are by his prescription, you walk in a newness of life like never, ever before. And I'm telling you right now, when you begin to comprehend who he is and what he is in your life, it makes everything make sense. Listen, let me just share this with you now. Don't leave. Don't you leave Jerusalem now. Don't you leave. I know they're pushing you away. I know they're trying to drive you to quit. I know they're working your nerve. I know they're cutting on you behind your back. I know they're mocking you to your face. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. The name of Yahweh becomes your strong tower. If you're righteous and you're keeping his appointments and you're trying to live right for him, you stand. Having done all to stand, you stand. Just get dressed in his armor and he will fight this battle for you. But don't you leave Jerusalem. Don't you leave. You wait here until he comes, because the promise of Ruach HaKodesh is with him. And if you bow down now, and if you fall away now, you'll never embrace what he has for you. Apostle, that sounds good. That's a cute, encouraging word. No, it's not just a cute, encouraging word. It's his word. It's his truth. 50 is a year. 50 is a number. 50 is a time. Shavuot is the time for your liberty, hallelujah, your freedom, hallelujah, and your deliverance from every bondage, every pestilence, every financial area of lack, everything, person that tries to hold you down under its thumb or its foot. Yahweh is liberating you. Don't miss this appointment. Don't miss this season. It's going to happen with or without you. I just want you to be in it and aware of it so you can embrace it and grab it. But I want you to do. That's why we teach like we teach. We don't want you to miss it. Don't you let anything keep you. Don't you let anything hinder you. Don't you do it. That's why Yeshua told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay here. I want you to do that as well.
I don't know, Apostle. That don't make no sense.
I understand your religion speaking. But I would you have relationship and let it speak. The word never lies. This is something he said to do forever. Tune in tonight. Tune in tonight. Go to Ustream.tv if you're out of state. I want you to listen to the Bible study teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Search for Apostle B.W. Jones. All of that's going to be there for you. Well, we got to get moving. I hope you've enjoyed this, and I'm praying that you will have the opportunities to understand and literally embrace what it is that Yahweh wants for you to do in this season.
The Bible declares, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is." We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the Word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team, a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.